Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to Major League Baseball's winter meeting. Second hour of Sports Open Line on this Monday evening. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you in San Diego. Ted Simmons a little bit earlier, as he is headed to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. This hour, going to visit with Stephen Piscotty and John Shambi. Those guys, a big part of Major League Baseball, raising some big money for five different charities and organizations that are fighting ALS. Also, we'll visit with Joe Torre, of course, former Cardinal, World Series champion, now an executive with Major League Baseball. And Claib's excited to get Joe's take on both Ted Simmons and Marvin Miller, headed to the Hall of Fame, and always great to see Joe around these meetings. He's always very gracious with his time, and looking forward to chatting with him.
Hall of Famer Joe Torre, we might want to add, and had some interesting things to say about Marvin Miller, certainly his relationship with Bob Gibson and how they first met, and a few other fun things we'll talk to him about.
I think that, again, looking back at the big news of today, a lot of people buzzing about Steven Strasburg, his deal with the Nationals, 7 years, $245 million. We're going to visit with John Mozeliak and Mike Gersh here in just a little bit. Looking forward to hearing how they kind of evaluate that deal and evaluate where the pitching market is right now, Klebs, compared to yesterday, compared to even a couple of days ago before the Wheeler deal.
Yeah, a lot of things have changed. I don't think anyone saw this number coming. I think we all felt like he could probably hit the jackpot, but 245 for seven, that's a lot. And when you think about what Gerrit Cole is going to command, and by the way, they're represented by the same guy, along with Rendon, there's a lot of money that's going to be spent. And I really think there's some teams that just said, you know what, we'll be okay. We'll find something else. So that may mean that people like Dallas Keuchel, and some other guys at that next level, they may get more action from more teams than I think what Gerrit Cole might be getting.
Yes, yeah, so again, we'll talk about that coming up. Going to hear from John Mozeliak, Mike Gersh. But this hour, Stephen Piscotty, John Shambi, and Joe Torre. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you at Major League Baseball's winter meetings in San Diego. Our coverage brought to you by Goodwill. Donate a car for four free field box tickets. And we're back with more after this on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back into Sports Open Line. Our winter meetings edition of the program on this Monday evening continues. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you in San Diego. Our winter meetings coverage, as always, brought to you by Goodwill. Donate a car for four free field box tickets. And Claibs, the day started today with the press conference. Stephen Piscotty on hand, along with John Shambi of ESPN. And they announced once again that Major League Baseball, the clubs, they're raising money for five ALS charities and nonprofit organizations through the 2019 Winter Meetings Charity Auction. You can go to MLB.com/Winter Meetings Auction. Some incredible experiences and items donated by Major League Baseball, its clubs, and its partners. And the funding is going to support some great, great organizations, including ALS Cure Project, founded by Stephen Piscotty, whose mom, of course, Gretchen, passed away due to ALS a couple of years ago in May of 2018. And I remember, Claves, in Orlando, when the announcement came down that the A's and Cardinals had agreed to a trade, Stephen Piscotty was being sent back home to Oakland. He was able to then return to where he grew up, play for the team that he grew up rooting for, but be around his friends and family. One of those times where sometimes there are bigger things than baseball. The team's got together right now. Stephen is making an incredible difference as he's taken on this this organization that's really trying with so many others to make some progress to eventually find a cure for this just terrible disease.
It is a great gesture, not only on Steven's part to keep his mother's memory alive, but certainly Major League Baseball to get involved in things that other than baseball and using their might and their muscle and their name recognition to get people involved and get them informed. And it's a great step. And, you know, they do this with a lot of charities around baseball, around the country. And we see other sports do it as well. But Steven is a guy that we all have come to really like and appreciate, not only as a player, but as a person. And to have him leading the way on this is something we all feel good about.
Yeah, you can go to, again, MLB.com/winter meetings auction. MLB.com/winter meetings auction. Check out, yeah, some fantastic items. And we talked a little bit more about it with Steven.
Steven, it's great to see you, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's fun to be here in the meetings and supporting this, so it's been good.
That's the only way we got you here to the meetings and talk about a great cause.
Tell us a little bit.
I'll talk to you guys anytime. No, come on.
I appreciate that.
Tell us a little bit about your organization, the strides you guys have made, and the opportunity to be involved in the Major League Baseball winter meeting auctions, and just what this means to get the support of Major League Baseball and all the clubs.
Yeah, we've been working really hard to kind of get this up and going off, and it's been, you know, a struggle at times, and then you find your successes, and you know, we've done a good job of I think establishing ourselves as a credible, you know, organization. And I think that you know, what we hope to do is find a cure. It's in the name, the Cure Project, and we're trying to take a research and incentive-based approach to where we get a little bit more involvement from biotech companies and the people that really have the tools to, you know, make strides in this area.
You know, I talked to Boog Shambi about this, about the fact that there's just it's so underfunded, because people just don't know about it, mainly because people don't understand what mm-hmm. ALS is, because there's no real true definition for it.
Right. You're absolutely right. It's the disease you're diagnosed with when they fail to find anything else, which right there in itself should say something, that there isn't a test for ALS. And so it's, I think, partly underfunded just because of how rare it is. It's very, very rare. But the severity of it, I think, is what deserves a little bit more you know, awareness and research dollars, because it is just absolutely brutal. And you know, that's kind of what we're setting out to fix.
The auction is a big deal. I mean, when you look at some of the auction items that are available, it's going to be amazing how many people have a chance to do some things they're not going to see anywhere else.
Yeah. No, they're pretty incredible. And that was a really cool thing, reading over that list and seeing some of the Hall of Famers on there, seeing my former teammates or current teammates on there, you know, donating their time, and you know, it's pretty special. There's some awesome experiences on there. That's a couple of them I want to bid on.
MLB.com/winter meetings auction. You can bid now until late Thursday night, midnight Central Time. And again, ALS Cure Project is one of the great organizations that will benefit. How's the offseason going, man, for you, and especially the success you guys have had on the field mm-hmm. over the last couple of years, that incredible wild card game? Where are you at this point, getting ready to ramp things back up?
Yeah, it's about that time. About halfway through the offseason is pretty much full go. Had some fun, went fishing, did a couple trips, went to London, checked out Scotland a little bit. So had a good time, but now it's back to business and training, getting in the gym and getting in the cage. And, feeling good. Obviously was hurt a few times last year, which was frustrating, but I'm about 100% and should be 100% for sure in spring training. So I'm looking forward to getting rolling again.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, playing for the A's, who really kind of got the money ball thing going, the analytic issue going, what was the biggest change you noticed going from one organization to another that was really analytics driven like the Oakland A's?
That's a great question. I feel like this might not be the right answer. I feel like behind the scenes, the A's are doing a lot that the players don't even really notice. I mean, I think they make a lot of Bob Melvin makes a lot of decisions based off some of the formulas and data stuff, especially with how he makes out the lineup, that none of us are really aware of, but we know that behind the scenes and some of the scouting reports and all that sort of stuff, you know, they're really digging deep to find things. And it was similar to St. Louis. I think in St. Louis, it was just kind of starting out, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they're more refined. I know when we played you guys, and I kept seeing guys looking in their back pocket at these cards. That, I'm like, okay, yeah, we're all on the same page. But, yeah, it's just interesting how the game's evolving. I mean, the information is a lot, and it can overload you at times. So how do you, you know, find that right balance is a big thing.
With that said, Bob Melvin, I gather, didn't overload you guys with information. He would give you what they were able to disseminate and then pass on, this is what they do, this is what they don't do, compared to giving you all the numbers to support arguments.
Yeah, I mean, if you just give us all these numbers and mm-hmm. expect us to memorize things, then you're up there in the box thinking about certain counts and certain things, and that's not when I'm at my best. It's usually when I'm operating, just reacting to what I see. If there's something that really pops off a page, I want to know it, but I want the coaches and the manager to handle the rest of that, and then they can make decisions in-game that are very helpful.
How about just playing in Oakland, Stephen? And I think it was 2 years ago, winter meetings were in Orlando when the trade happened. And getting to be with your family, getting to play in front of family and friends, but getting to wear that jersey and in front of just an incredible fan base and some incredible games. Mm-hmm. What has the experience been like for you and for your family?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Not many players get to say they played for their hometown team, so I'm very thankful for that opportunity. And I think, you know, coming home obviously was very, very special and very important, for off the field reasons and being there for my mom, and so thankful for that. The fans, you're right, they're some of the best in baseball. They're rowdy, they're a lot of fun.
It's like an SEC football game.
It really is. And that wild card game, I think we had 54 plus or something in that Coliseum. It was wild. So it's been a lot of fun, and I really, you know, enjoy my time there.
Final question for me with Stephen Piscotty. Your corner infielders are two as good of players that baseball has to offer. What's it like to be able to watch those guys play on a regular basis?
It's special. One of my favorite parts of the day is just when I run in from BP and I go in to take my rounds. Chapman's always there taking his ground balls, and I just run by and I'm watching the plays he makes, and then he throws it over to Olson, who's making an incredible scoop or whatever it is. They're incredible. Those are pretty hard positions. First base, I think, is not many people think it's that important, right? You stand over there and catch it. But some of the things that he brings to the table, nobody else has, and it's they're incredible tools, and they're just great players. It's fun to watch.
Well, you were third baseman at one point.
Wasn't very good one. That's why I appreciate
show,
it. That's why I appreciate
you
it so much.
You show how to play the position, I gather.
I do. In joking manner, I'll go over and I'll take a ground ball, throw it into the stands, and then keep going.
ALS Cure Project, one of the great foundations that will benefit from the Winter Meetings Auction. Go to MLB.com/Winter Meetings Auction. You can bid on some incredible, incredible experiences and items, and help 5 great charities and nonprofits. Stephen, great to see you. And for the next portion of our interview, offline, we're going to negotiate. Klaibs and I are going to hammer out a deal. We're going to take your house off your hands in St. Louis. Yeah, we'll purchase that. How much is our per diem today? Can we scrape something up?
We're going to have to get somebody else in here to make sure we can balance it out.
We'll find the cat.
Yeah, we're a little short today, but we'll check with you tomorrow, though.
Great to see you, man. All the best to you and the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Great to see Stephen Piscotty, and also, as we mentioned, John Shambi, very involved in this cause, and Klaibs chatted with him just moments after the press conference.
You can tell the difference between Shambi and me as far as the voices are concerned. I was trying to go lower, but I couldn't get that low. Well, John Boog Shambi is here at the winter meetings, and we're not talking baseball today. We're talking about something that's probably a little bit more important to a lot of people.
Yeah, and more personal for me. With MLB, every year at the winter meetings, they have an auction, and they choose different causes, and this year the cause is ALS. And in 2005, one of my childhood friends, one of my best friends, 30 years, Tim Sheehy, was diagnosed with ALS, lost his battle in 2007, and along the way, we created a charity called Project Main Street, and I'm just really grateful to Major League Baseball that with this auction, money will go to 5 different charities and, you know, help fund research and care. And it was great to have Melanie Legrand from Major League Baseball and Stephen Piscotty speak at this.
You know, it's interesting, we talk about ALS, and there are a number of illnesses out there that just don't get the exposure to get more funding to help cure a lot of people who are in need. And in a lot of cases,
it doesn't hit you unless it touches a family member or a friend, like in your situation.
It's a great point, and a lot of people don't even know what ALS is. I do think that there's a part of it. It affects a lot of people, but probably not enough that it's in the pharmaceutical company's interest to really push for funding for a cure, you know, financially. And then, you know, you're trying to get the word out. You're trying to, you know, you're basically trying to get as much awareness as possible. But it's a terrible disease, and just trying to kind of spread the word and have some people understand the effect that it's had on so many people. And specific to research, I mean, they're so far behind. There is actually no diagnosis for ALS. They don't have biomarkers where they test you and say, you have this. They just rule out all the other things. That's what ends up happening. So there's a ways to go, for sure.
How can people get involved? Because this auction is a really big deal, and there's some great opportunities to get involved. Give us an idea what some of the auction items are going to be.
Yeah, there are some really neat things. So, for example, you can bid on a chance to play golf with John Smoltz and Chipper Jones. You can bid on you and five other people sit in Brian Cashman's box, and he'll hang out with you during the game. You can... I know for Cards fans, they may not love this, but Ryan Dempster will throw batting practice on Wrigley Field to four people. So I don't.
There was a time he was doing that in uniform.
Well, I won't tell him you said that. So there's all sorts of really neat auction items, and it's, you know, MLB.com/winter meetings, and it's on there right now.
You know, this has been an interesting year, certainly, and it's great to see a sport like baseball and the other sports get involved in things that don't directly involve things on the field. And there's a lot of things that they do that doesn't get the exposure that maybe it deserves, and it's just nice to see baseball still trying to give something back.
Yeah, amen. And again, as you said, you know, for me, it's really personal, but I'm with you that it's neat to see the league and the shout out to all the individual clubs for their participation in this. So hopefully we'll raise a lot of money.
Do you take a day off? Because you go from baseball to basketball, and the next thing you know, here comes baseball again.
I kind of disappeared for a couple of weeks, but I'm all right. We're my last game, I think, was last Friday USC at TCU, and I have a Virginia game coming up, but I'm happy to be here, man. You know I love it. We love it.
It's great to see you. I tried to talk as deep as you, but I can't get there, but it's always good to have you around, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you when season rolls around.
Back at you. Thanks so much, Mike.
Again, go to MLB.com/winter meetings auction to check out the great auction and all of the organizations that are going to benefit from the proceeds. Really, really just well done by Steven and by so many in Major League Baseball. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a moment. We are moving right along on this Monday night edition, our first evening on KMOX and on Sports Open Line from the winter meetings in San Diego, brought to you by Goodwill. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you back in a moment on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to Major League Baseball's winter meetings in San Diego. Lots of Hall of Fame talk today, and we visit with a couple of Hall of Famers. One of them is standing by. We'll get to him in just a moment. Do want to remind you that our coverage in San Diego, brought to you by Goodwill. Donate a car for four free field box tickets. Also, follow us on social media at KMOX Sports for the latest from the meetings. It is great to see Major League Baseball's Joe Torre, who joins us again, so kind to give us a couple of minutes. How are you? Thanks for swinging by.
Nice being here. It's baseball season, even though we're in December. But it's it feels good, and finally the sun is shining.
Hallelujah to that. First thing I have to talk to you about, man, you know really well, Marvin Miller goes into the Hall of Fame. I keep seeing these pictures of you and him together in the good old days. I think you should bring the mutton chop sideburns back. I think that was a good look for you.
Mike, I started it, and I'm looking across at you right now with a little lack of hair on top of your head. You know, that was the only place hair would grow for me. It didn't grow on my head. But, yeah, I know. You know, it's a funny story. And, you know, I was player rep. I was league rep for a period of time. And when I went to the Cardinals, I was the alternate player rep with Dal Maxville, and every time there'd be a picture taken, you know, I'd be next to Marvin. And my brother Frank, who said to me one time, well, how come every time they take a picture of Marvin Miller, that you're standing next to him? He thought I was going to get myself in trouble because of the, you know, the union affiliate association, I mean. And, you know, it was funny. And as it turned out, as you say, I got somebody sent me a picture. Scott Akasaki, who is the traveling secretary of the Dodgers, every once in a while he'll send me a jab, you know, and he sent me a picture of Marvin and I. And it's, you know, I'm so happy. I mean, I could be happier if Marvin was still with us, you know, and being finally elected into the Hall of Fame, because you know, he played a big role in a change in the game. And of course, you know, I would like to believe every player would appreciate his efforts.
And speaking of, finally, how about Ted Simmons getting elected, Joe?
I talked to Simba last night. I called him, and you know, he was still like in a daze. you know, when you look at his numbers, it's no surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I always appreciated, you know, his work ethic. You know, the fact that he used to take batting practice in spring training and put this weighted vest on and take batting practice. And he was just lefty, righty. At one time, he was probably as good a hitter as there was in the game.
I would agree with you. I think that's the thing that's overlooked. A great switch hitter who really dedicated himself to hitting. And he was a decent catcher as well. I mean,
he,
you know.
He made himself, Mike, yeah. He made himself a better catcher. But I know one thing. Nobody ever, he never shied away from his aggressiveness. He was always that guy who was going to find a way to beat you. You know, even when he went over to Milwaukee, I remember having a number of conversations with him. Because at that time, you know, you get used to a new league, and the American League was more of a breaking ball league, and the National League was more of a fastball league, and it took him a little time to adjust to that. But you know, he was such a pure hitter, and I'm so happy for him, because he, you know, he's been a lifer in baseball, and the fact that he's you know, joining the Hall of Fame is pretty cool.
You know, when you look at the way baseball is set up with the Hall of Fame, the second chance, if you will, there's a lot of guys, and you look back on what they were able to do, that you say, you know what, he was pretty good. And it goes back to, if you saw him, you can appreciate him. I think sometimes the numbers don't indicate it. If you want to talk about WAR and some of the other analytics that they use now to assess players, if you saw Dave Parker, if you saw Dale Murphy, if you saw those guys, you'd say, well, I thought he was already in. I thought he should be in. And I'm glad to see the baseball's taking that on. I was talking to Bob Hendricks from the Negro League Museum earlier. Buck O'Neill's on the ballot next year. That's going to be an interesting decision to make, considering him being one of the great ambassadors of the game and signed three Hall of Famers in Billy Williams, Lou Brock, and Lee Arthur Smith.
And I still see Buck. When, you know, we used to be in Kansas City, mm-hmm. There he was. He was like a piece of furniture, man. He was out to every game, and there he would sit. But, yeah, you're right. And you're right. Dave Parker, again, he was the awesome guy in the game at one time. Not only was he a good hitter, he was a power hitter. And playing right field, nobody had a better arm than he had. And accurate, mm-hmm. accurate arm. And then Dale Murphy, I think of Murph, you know, he played for me. I managed 3 years in Atlanta, and two straight years he won the MVP.
Did you convert him? Because he was an outfielder at one point.
You know what? He turned into an outfielder. No, I used to kid him because he started as a catcher.
Right.
And then he had trouble just throwing the ball back to the mound, as far as, you know, a number of guys have had that issue. And the more he thought about it, the worse it got. Then he played first base also. But, no, he was already an outfielder when I got him. But the one thing that I insisted that he stay with was his natural way to swing, which was – you know, hit the ball to right. He's being a right-hand hitter. Hit the ball to right center field. It made him a much better hitter. And, you know, he won the MVP 2 years in a row. And not only was he a good hitter and a power guy, But he had the ability to steal bases, and he was really a complete player, and what a class act.
Joe Torre is with us at Major League Baseball's winter meetings. As you are visiting with people and in meetings this offseason, as you reflect on just where the game is right now, coming off another incredible World Series, another great playoff run, Joe, what's the excitement level around the industry just in terms of the product on the field, the group of players, the group of managers that you guys have within Major League Baseball and really the hands that the game is in?
Yeah, I've been concerned the last couple of years because what we're seeing are an enormous amount of home runs being hit, strikeouts and walks. And to me, that doesn't put any action on the field. You know, home runs, yeah, it's exciting, but you trot around the bases.
Ball's not in play,
yeah.
Yeah,
there's no play going on. This past postseason, I thought, was a throwback a little bit. We had starting pitchers make an impact again. And then there was one game in postseason that we had 16 hits in the game before a home run was hit, which was encouraging. Because, you know, you get the postseason, the pitching's better.
Yeah.
So you really can't take the liberties you take on some of the other pitchers. And I thought this, I thought the Red Sox actually proved last year they were a team that was easy to pull for. They put the ball in play. They ran the bases. They did a lot of great things last year, and I was very surprised that they didn't make the postseason this year, but they weren't the same team. But, I thought this year's postseason was more of a throwback to the way not only the fans, but us baseball people like to watch.
We saw the Cardinals, such an improvement defensively, becoming and going from one of the worst to one of the best defensive teams under Mike Schilt, base running from one of the worst and least active teams on the base paths to one of the best. And when you've got pitching as well, you can still win a lot of games that way. You can still win a division like the Central that way.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike Schilt got the Cardinals, back to the Cardinal teams that were respected for doing little things very well.
And got some hardware for it.
And really, he got some hardware. He's a good manager. He's got a long career ahead of him. Players seem to embrace what he does and what he presents. But he's a lifer. I mean, he comes back. He's a baseball person. And the as far as the fact that they were so bad defensively last year, I can just see George Kissel just throwing his eyes up in the top of his head if that was the case. But the Cardinals always, prided themselves on playing the game the right way and not giving anything away. If they lose a game, it was because somebody else beat them. They didn't beat themselves. And that certainly got back to the normal Cardinal team this past season.
Joe Torre is our guest. There's so much discussion about the direction of the game. Technology is having a significant impact. There's discussion about rule changes, pace of play, umpiring, you name it. There's so many things out there. What's on Joe Torre's plate right now as far as things that you see moving forward and maybe being more aggressive with respect to the way the game's going to be played?
Well, Mike, you hit, the pace of game is one thing. We'd like to shorten the game. I think the biggest difference I see, and I'd like to see, change back to pitching to contact. Right now we're striking people out. We have pitchers, they got enormous ability to throw the ball hard and fast. We try to strike hitters out from the first pitch instead of when you have to reach down and get it, like, our friend Bob Gibson, who he was a strikeout pitcher, but that wasn't in his mind.
Yeah.
When he threw the ball, he used to walk in the clubhouse for a game, and he'd say, an hour and 53 minutes, win, lose, or draw. And because he was going to, make you
go
beat
after
him.
Guys, yeah.
He wasn't going to beat himself, and he was going to pitch the contact. We don't see a whole lot of that. We had game seven. Go back 1960 with the Yankees and Pittsburgh Pirates, the year Mazeroski hit the home run to end the World Series. Game seven was 10-9. The Pittsburgh beat the Yankees. It was home runs all over the place and whatever. 2 hours and 30 minutes, and there were no strikeouts in the game.
Wow.
No strikeouts, which, you know, what does it say? They weren't capable of striking people out? No, it meant that they made you hit the ball.
Put the ball in play, yeah.
They put the ball in play. I dare you to hit it. How many times have you heard Tim McCarver talk about the best pitch in baseball is strike one? That's no longer the case. Yeah. You know, they're trying to be perfect right from the get-go.
And I think that's why the pitch count is up and guys don't last as long. You mentioned Gibson because he was also a guy that said, you know what, instead of facing Torrey, who may own me, I'm going to pitch around him. I'm going to face the next guy, and I'll get the same result. I'll get the out that I'm looking for. I
appreciate your saying I
Well, you were. Wait a minute. This is a guy that's an MVP. He's a batting champion.
He's
going to
cringe when he hears that.
But, you know, I want you to tell the story. I'll digress here for a second. Tell the story, if you will, about when you got traded and how you didn't know Bob before you got to St. Louis and you met him during an All-Star game.
Well, yeah. I caught him. Well, let's put it this way. I was a starting catcher in the 1965 All-Star game. It was our last year in Milwaukee, 1965. I was the starting catcher, and we were playing in Minnesota. And, you know, we had a 5-0 lead or whatever in that game. And I caught all 9 innings of that game, and it was like 100 degrees. And so now the American League tied it up 5-5. We score, go ahead. Bob Gibson comes in to be the closer, basically, in that game. And Tony Oliva is the first hitter, okay? He's obviously batting titles and really good hitter. So strike one, strike two. Now I'm debating with myself. I know where I want the pitch. I want a fastball up and in. Tony Oliva was a good low ball hitter. And I said, should I just signal it with my fingers or should I go out and talk to him? I wasn't comfortable going to talk to him because he wasn't the most giving individual, especially if the name across your chest wasn't the same, the Cardinals,
exactly.
Because he wouldn't talk to you. So I go out to the mound. I said, I don't want to second guess myself. I went out and I said, Bob, throw this pitch up and in, not down and in. He looked at me like I had just stepped on his foot and just gave me the sneer that he smirk or whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm talking about, Mike.
Scowl.
Yeah, scowl is good. Yeah, that. I got another story after this one. Then. But, you know, so I go back. I felt like he undressed me in front of everybody. I went back behind the plate, put the fastball sign down. He threw it down and in, double left center field, gets the next 3 guys out. And now, as luck would have it for me, we're showering together. We're the only 2 in the shower. And I said, nice pitching, Bob. Great job. And he, again, the old scowl or smirk, whatever you want to call it, there it was. Never said a word to me. Never thank you, you know, go do this or whatever. But, you know, that was that until I got traded. And then all of a sudden, hey, I'm glad you're here, blah, 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 blah. You know,
but they traded for the wrong guy. Well, they traded the wrong guy for
well,
you. Well,
you know, Bing Devine, who was our general manager, had asked Bob, what do you think of Joe Torre? She trade for him. Oh, yeah, you know, he would do a good job. Then when they traded Cepeda for me, he says to Bing, he says, I didn't mean for you to trade Cepeda. So, but let me give you, if you got a minute.
Sure, we have all the time we need.
I've got one of my favorite Gibby stories. And, again, he pitched a contact. And Ron Fairley, who had pretty good luck against Bob because he was a good fastball hitter. So we're playing this game, and Fairley gets a base hit to right center. Gets another base hit his next time up. I'm the catcher in the game. Now, Bob gets a base hit. He goes to first base, and Fairley just starts chirping, just saying, telling Bob what good stuff he has. You know, and he's just gone 2 for 2 against
him. Exactly.
So, again, here comes that smirk again, you know, and scowl. And now, next time, Fairley comes up to the plate. Now he reaches down and gets himself a handful of dirt. And he looks back at me behind the plate. He says, I have a feeling I'm not going to like this at bat. And I didn't. I just looked down, you know, and I called for the pitch and hits him right in the ribs. And as he's throwing his bat away to go to first base, he says, I told you.
He is a legend for sure.
Just incredible to hear and incredible to think about. A lot of the Cardinals we still get to see every year, the guys that wear the red jackets and are around the ballpark. And we'll wrap up with this. One of them is Mike Shannon, who's up again for the Ford C. Frick Award, Joe. And just wondering if you could speak a little bit, as you know, you guys continue in baseball, and Mike continues as the voice of the Cardinals, what he's meant to not just you and the Cardinals, but to the game. Maybe put into perspective for fans and maybe young fans as well what it means. There's an incredible ballot this year for the Ford C. Frick Award. And, again, so many guys well-deserving, but Mike so well-deserving that he's up for that honor once again.
I mean, Mike is all about longevity. You know, God love him. You know, he wound up with that nephritis. You know, my second year there, looked like they were going to make the trade with Philadelphia, and he was part of that deal, and he came down ill. And I remember going to visit him one day, and he was sleeping like 23 hours a day. And I think he was the only one in the room that thought he was going to be okay. You can't replace the personality and the passion that Mike had for the game, and of course the Cardinals. He's just been a wonderful. I'm a little biased. He's been a wonderful friend. You know, when he used to have the radio show, he'd say, "Hey, what do you think? You want to do the?" Yeah, of course you said yes. You were afraid not to say yes. But he's got such a wealth of knowledge in the game. He explains the game really well, and he's a fan. You know, to me, you know, as long as he's been in the game, not only as a player, but now in the broadcasting booth, and of course broke in under the great Jack Buck, and the fact that, you know, he's still there and he still has the passion and he still loves it, and probably still gets to go to the Kentucky Derby too. But he's a man that I love, and I only wish him, you know, all the things that he's earned, and certainly it would be wonderful to see him up on that podium.
You ever have to tell him to go easy on your umpires a little bit?
No, he's been pretty good
been
with me.
Good. You know, he's been civil.
Yeah,
about
yeah
that.
He's
yeah
been. You know what he does.
Passion is
what
the perfect word.
What he does behind my back, I can't. I
he's
can't
been
tell
good
you
about it.
But
there was a time though.
But you know what, Mike, when you're a player back in that area and that time, you know, and the umpire missed a call, you didn't dwell on it. You complained about it, and you moved on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's sort of like tripping and falling on the street. You don't wait there until you mm-hmm find somebody to blame. You have to get up and go where you're going. And Mike, you know, Mike is that guy. And it, but he's, again, he's honest as the day is long. What can I tell you?
You mentioned your umpires. How do you feel about your direction? You got some young guys that are starting to make headway as far as being involved in some of the bigger games and certainly postseason. So how do you feel about their direction?
Well, you know, we do have some fine young umpires. We you know, unfortunately lost, you know, Eric Cooper suddenly this past off season. But young umpires have, you know, they're really doing a good job. They're handling the pressure. We like to sort of, you know, spoon feed them a little bit and get them in the postseason a little at a time. And this year we, you know, we had a few guys there for the first time in the World Series. And I think they're handling the pressures of this game, because obviously every single game, even though you play 162, there's a great deal of pressure involved because of all the criticism and the replay and the balls and strikes. But the young umpires, I'm excited about not only their ability, but their strength.
Joe, thanks for all the time. We appreciate it. It's always great to see you, and have a great rest of your time here at the winter meetings. Thanks
and
so much.
We'll see you in Jupiter, I'm sure.
You bet.
Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Guys.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Monday night edition of Sports Open Line from San Diego at Major League Baseball's winter meetings. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you back after this break on your home for Cardinals Baseball, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Wrapping up this Monday edition of Sports Open Line from the winter meetings in San Diego, Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you. Again, our coverage brought to you by Goodwill. Donate a car for 4 free field box tickets. We appreciate Goodwill. And had a great first day. We were busy. We had the press conference for Ted Simmons, who's headed to the Hall of Fame, visit with Stephen Piscotty, John Ciambi of ESPN, Joe Torre as well, and plenty more to come tomorrow. Big thanks to our executive producer, Ben Boyd, and Alex Muskoff back in our KMOX studios. With Mike Claiborne in San Diego at Major League Baseball's winter meetings. Until tomorrow, I'm Chris Raby on your home for St. Louis Cardinals Baseball, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.